Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am a sunburnt back Ollie Davis, and I'm joined, it sounds like a Pokemon, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Why are you sunburnt on your back?
I went to the park yesterday.
Did you go to test your eyesight?
No. I sort of, you know, just walked. And I thought, do I take the 258-mile trip up to a scenic place of beauty? And I thought, you know what? From my interpretation of the rules, which is I'm not the one making them. I'm just some pleb on the ground. I took that to be against the spirit. So I only walked down my street to the communal park that's there.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? I also saw those rules that you said there we didn't make because we're just mere peasants. But the one that says, if you're ill, stay at home, to mean, hey, do you know what? I actually have felt pretty fine during all of this. But had I felt unwell, I think my first instinct would be to stay at home, being that I don't need to check my eyesight at the moment.
Yeah, and it's like it's just because that's the main thing that the government said, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure that, in fact, that was the first thing.
Yeah.
Stay at home, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, now it's stay alert. So I thought it would be okay to just go down to the park with members of my household and lay in the sun.
But you didn't stay alert, did you? Because you got sunburned.
I wasn't thinking about the sun. I was only thinking about the tiny invisible balls on our flesh and in the air, coronavirus. Not the big bright one in the sky. Yeah.
Well, we'll dive into the show, and then we've got quite a few mailbag questions to get into. But first, here we're going to talk about a WWE title change and Rey Mysterio possibly retiring next week. Here is the show.
Little tiny announcement near the end of the show when they're just previewing next week. Oh, we're going to have this match. We're going to have this match. Oh, Rey Mysterio is going to be doing his retirement ceremony. And now it's time for the main event. I'm like, sorry, what? They've run a graphic for the Rey Mysterio retirement ceremony. It's going to be hosted by Seth Rollins, by all accounts. It's definitely a work.
Yes, 100%. Like this, when you don't make a big deal out of it, that Rey Mysterio is announcing his retirement the following week. Yeah, it's 100% of work. This is like, if Rey Mysterio does not do this in a salmon jacket next week, this will have all been for naught.
Well, do you think he's going to turn up? I think this is going to be Seth Rollins, like, going through Rey's career, sort of almost like a memorial thing for him.
I'm fully expecting it to be like a wake.
Yeah, so this is off the back of Seth's. Just he is the most compelling character in WWE. Drew McIntyre is the most likable. Seth is the best character. I'm loving his stuff at the moment. And throughout this episode, it would cut back to him backstage. He'll be with Austin Theory, his latest recruit after last week, and of course, Buddy Murphy. They're both standing there like Mr. Burns. And he's just holding Rey Mysterio's mask, but in a way that's kind of like, alas, poor Yorick's head. Do you know what I mean? He's always holding this like a skull.
Look at you, Smarty Pants, auditioning for Eggheads or The Chase over here. Do you want to explain the reference to us dummies over here?
It's a bit of a Shaka Spear quote. Alas, poor Yorick, we hardly knew ye. You know, the famous one where someone's talking to a skull, it's a dead man's skull. That's the vibes I got. But, you know, Seth starts with that. Then Murphy and Theory come out for a match against Carrillo and Black. Carrillo because Lucha, Black because he was teaming with Rey Mysterio when Seth popped the eye. And then, you know, obviously Carrillo takes the pinfall. It was a pretty good match. I thought Carrillo looked really good. So, of course, he loses. And then both Buddy and Theory grab Carrillo. And it was a great shot of Carrillo's eye being jammed towards the corner of the steel steps. Aleister Black runs over to help him, and Seth Rollins is like, "No, no, stay back. I will pop his eye out." I thought it was awesome.
It was so, so cool. Like, I'm so madly into Seth at the moment. I love, and I think you've said previously that you don't like the new entrance. I love his new entrance and stuff. I love all the stained glass part of it. It feels a bit like it suits him more than Burn. Like, it suits this character more now than Burn It Down does. Like, that, like the Burn It Down music does not suit this version of Seth Rollins. So it needed some, and I really like this new presentation. And him coming out with Theory and Black, Theory and Murphy, and and Austin Theory picking up the win, him being the one that gets the pinfall. Like, you know, what I honestly feel like it's his first pinfall win on Raw since he came up to the main roster 5 years ago, but however time works these days. So, like, and it's great that he got that because he's now with Seth. So I really like that presentation. And then the closing angle was awesome, particularly with Black in the ring. And like Seth was like, if you do this, if you take one more step, I'm going to do this. So Black's in this situation. I was like, well, I have to stop him or he's going to do it. But also I have to not do it. Otherwise he's going to do it. And I've just got to trust that he's not going to do this by putting the chair down. And Seth is like, you know, you did a noble thing there, so I'm not going to do it this time. Oh, I thought it was wicked.
Really, really good. But for the record, I do like the stained glass videos for Seth's entrance. It's his music that I don't like. But you are right. Maybe the Burn It Down line doesn't work with this character. So what can we have in the place of that, you know, the gap of the song to fit his new Messiah character?
Ooh, Messiah.
Ooh, Messiah. Ooh, save me. I don't know. But maybe, yeah, you know, like maybe it's just Seth. It's Seth saying, or some people going, "Save me, Seth, save me." I don't know. Get some super chats in. See if you've got any better entries. I'm sure we're just going to get comedy ones now.
I think it's to go back to our thumbnail conversation. Rey is not retiring next week. And I do think he is going to be there. Like, I think that they will have, like, Seth will hold this sort of memorial service for his career. And you'll have Murphy and Austin Theory just sort of, you know, solemnly nodding their heads and stuff as they go through Rey's greatest moments. Maybe a Carrillo runs down and they get rid of him and then carry on doing the segment before I was so rudely interrupted. Kind of do that, you know, maybe have some more Lucha stuff. And then Rey Mysterio makes his return to come back and clear house of everyone to build to their match at, well, presumably their match at Backlash, right?
Out of retirement, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just say that you get the clip ready?
Did I get, hold on.
You just said the name.
That one.
Yes. I have had that in my head all weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you, WWE, for getting the greatest show in my head. I, So this does tie into some interesting stuff, because Rey Mysterio's contract is up in September, October time, seems to be the reported date everyone's settled on. And WWE are trying to get him to re-sign. And Rey Mysterio, as far as we know, hasn't. And Dave Meltzer did say, look, this seems like WWE hedging their bets. Either Rey Mysterio is beaten up over and over again to put over someone else, a la Matt Hardy, on his way out of the company, or it's done to create a feud with Seth. So I think whatever happens with the retirement angle next week, how they treat Rey and Seth going forward will probably be quite indicative of Mysterio's future with the company.
Yeah, and one of the reports there, he was looking to stay with WWE, or one of the reasons why he might stay with WWE is because of Dominic. You know, he wants him to have a good wrestling career ahead of him, and what better way to kind of get his career kickstarted than by having him signed for WWE and train at the Performance Center. It'd be a great way. Perhaps we'll see Dominic next week. Like, maybe Dominic will be the one to run out and make the save as opposed to Rey.
I don't know. If I'm Rey, and Dominic's been on and off WWE TV for, you know, the better part of a year, really, and it's always start, stop, push stuff, I would lean towards not believing WWE if they tell me that they're going to push my son if I re-sign. Mm-hmm. I think if he does re-sign on that being a promise, considering everyone who's had broken promises made to them in an attempt to get them to stay with WWE, unfortunately, that's on Rey Mysterio if his career then doesn't go the right way.
Yeah.
After sticking with them. The other thing that happened on this episode was the WWE United States Championship changing hands to Apollo Crews in what was a really great moment, because I think a lot of us here are behind Apollo Crews, always thought he never really got a fair shake of the stick. But I've got to admit, it was a pretty underwhelming way to do it.
Yeah, so the match between Theory, that tag match, that had really good action. That was a really fun match that then had a really killer angle afterwards. This was a really good moment where he won the title and a really good promo afterwards and a really good feel-good. And I thought Andrade selling of losing the title was really great as well. But the match itself was mostly ad break and Angel Garza backstage doing your lad from The Far Show being like, having a wrestling match is a lot like making love to a beautiful woman. To the point where I was like, what is, like, all of my notes are about Garza backstage. And then I was like, oh, and then Cruz wins out of nowhere.
Yeah, Garza went full Swiss Tony. Yeah. And it wasn't just that. There was a shrink screen ad break through, I would say, half of the match. It wasn't a long match anyway, probably went 10 minutes. So we only got to see about 5 minutes of this match to fuel into the title change. And that just says to me that WWE aren't interested in it. Mm-hmm. They are interested in the women's title picture at the moment, which they did a fantastic job building up. I loved the three-way between Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Natalia later in this show. I don't understand why you wouldn't also do that for this guy you're meant to be pushing and the title change.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like a big deal. But, you know, but the moment was nice. It just sucks we didn't get to see a match out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I just hope that they do have actual plans for Apollo now. You know, we've been here so many times before where we get our hopes up because it looks like they're going to do something good. But then you're like, and you almost kid yourself, don't you? You're like, oh, but they did make him champion. This is going to be good. But then when you really look at it compared to stuff that's happened before, but they don't want to make him champion.
Well, I mean, one of the top comments on your news video today was like, let's not forget the Gronk won a title before Apollo Crews.
Yes. Well, you know, but he's money, right?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A better way to support this channel, oh, this is a clunky segue, rather than ticking those polls, is going over to Patreon, where you can become a pledge hammer of WrestleTalk. Like these wonderful $25 a month or more backers, there's a new graphic, there's the URL. Thank you, because you get a cheap pop, probably better than Kyle Philip O'Reilly. Woo!
Woo.
No way.
Sorry, I haven't actually got the list up. Hold on. Barely.
Chris,
me.
Hellfire Brimstone.
Great. I'll do the next two because I've got it now. Manipulating Manny or Maria.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and absolutely one of my favourites. Get the Guinnesses in. It's Dylan from Cork.
Woo! He's a sexy man. Sexy man. Not an Andrew Gross man. Gross man.
Fantastic. Oh, speaking of absolute legends, Xandermania running wild.
Thank you, Xandermania. Go and check him out on Twitter. He drew an awesome little cartoon of us all here at WrestleTalk. Jordan, don't you dare call me Mountain Jew.
I won't. Jam that James Dylan. Jam that James.
Have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons.
Very nice. Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves.
Someone's got to do it. How do you like them apples? Marcel Durr.
Speaking of. And lastly, Andy T-Rex Reed.
Thank you very much, Andy. Right, and of course, our fantastic moderators, Bumhead Rob. I'm sure Mod Mother Jenna's in there somewhere as well. And he's back. It's the best. Dowd. And yeah, I think that's everyone who's in there. But thank you, our wonderful moderator team with their Moddy Chlorians. Let's get into your super chats to see what you guys think. Valab Mamadipudi says, it's been refreshing to see actual continuity on Raw in general, and especially this week with Apollo's story and why MVP has had Lashley go after Drew.
Mm, yes, because yeah, well, we'll get onto that in a minute, where he's like, I offered you my services and you turned them down, so I went to someone else.
And I really appreciate WWE just not completely dropping Lana as well. Lana is still like, hey, MVP, come on. I'm the manager person here. So yeah, the nice continuity. That's, yeah, you know, the basics of storytelling. Wilson Simons, Andrade is Drew's next challenger?
I mean, I would have said that around WrestleMania, but then Drew beat him twice in a matter of minutes. So I don't know if you could take Andrade seriously as a challenger to the title at this point.
Yeah, I think Andrade and Apollo will probably just be stuck in an infinite loop. But that's the sort of, I guess, not even the pessimistic version of this. That's just the the rational version. Josh Kirsch, who do you think is Apollo's first challenger?
Good question. Probably Andrade.
Andrade or Angel Garza.
Angel Garza, yeah. It's probably someone from Zelina Sexy Men.
Dylan Cork with a very generous super chat. Thank
Dylan,
you.
Dylan from Cork.
Dylan from Cork. First time watching Raw live in a long time because I'm an AEW mark. Bear with you, bro. Happy to see Apollo finally grab some gold. Such an underutilized guy who's been underpushed for far too long. Also, Drew is my favorite champion since Punk.
And that is because Drew is being taken seriously as a WWE champion. In the same way that kind of like Seth was, but like Seth, when he became Universal Champion, was put into garbage feuds afterwards. I mean, I say garbage feuds, garbage feuder that was just 7 months with Baron Corbin. And then it was The Fiend. Kofi winning was great, but they never took him seriously as a champion. Drew has won this belt in a big match against Brock Lesnar and has been taken seriously week in, week out, has been made to feel like the main event of Raw. In fact, he has been the main event of Raw. He's been made to feel like the most important thing on the show. So, yeah, he feels like an actual champion.
It's that wonderful bit of Venn diagram crossover where with what the company wants to do crosses over with what we want to do. So it's, yeah, and that's true. It's the best of both worlds. And finally here for now, but keep getting your super chats in. We will get to all of them. Josh Kirsch again says, the fans in attendance reminded me of the 2K fans.
Well, these ones work. just before we do go on, from our other link, wrestletalk.com/support, It's Like Me Gaming said, as for Seth's entrance, maybe a choir singing, and then it changes to his usual song. And on another note, the entire crowd were putting their careers on the line by not clapping properly for Charlotte.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about this yet. Raw opened after the Memorial Day video package, which is, of course, very nice. Raw opened in the Performance Center with people socially distancing in the crowd. AEW have been doing it for 2 months. The sort of speculated thing is WWE just don't want to copy AEW. But I never subscribed to that sort of theory, because if you remember, the first like week of WWE No Fan shows, they didn't change anything down to the hard cam facing an empty row of seats. It was bizarre. AEW positioned the hard cam to look down the entrance ramp and the video screen, which is a much better backdrop, far more dynamic. And they, the next week, WWE changed the position of their hard cameras. And that was quite recognizably, AEW did something, we're going to pinch that because that works. There's nothing wrong with that. The reports today from WrestlingNews.co that said Vince McMahon thought that having NXT wrestlers around the ring would send the wrong message in a pandemic when socially distancing was being pushed. I think in his head, though, I think this is that it sounds inconsistent and therefore unbelievable. But I think its inconsistency and hypocritical nature is exactly why it's believable.
Because
that's how Vince's mind works.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. But it did actually, it really added an element to this. I think I'd have kind of, it felt like, what AEW does well with it is that they have babyfaces and heels. So you have the heels cheering on the other heels and the babyfaces cheering on the other babyfaces, which adds like a really nice dynamic. I also love the fact that then none of them were cheering MJF, which makes him uber heel.
Yeah.
But here, they were to be like the crowd that they've always wanted, that will just do what they're effing told. You will cheer these people, you will boo these people, and we'll have no other conversation about this. So I feel like having a bit more of a dynamic around that might have been, because otherwise it may as well just be a laugh track.
Yeah, you can play off people's allegiances and, get people over. Pineapple Pete, big swole, a double or nothing. People can weirdly make themselves stars in this scenario, even though they're just in the ringside area. Someone else commented on my news video from today saying, ah, the biggest return of 2020, planted fans. Oh, yeah!
Good.
Oh, that's very how we good. Cheer Roman. I was really annoyed I didn't make that joke, so well done whoever wrote that. Get some cardboard cutouts out there as well. Why yeah. don't you?
Take Fill some signs.
So, yeah, they're all out there. It really did improve the viewing experience, though.
It really did.
Yeah. Like, just having a few people, 20 or 30 people, I think, max, just totally changed the viewing experience. It opened on the Kevin Owens show, but not for Kevin Owens, for the women's division.
Yeah, because Kevin Owens is, amazingly, after winning twice at WrestleMania, directionless. Like, imagine giving someone two wins at WrestleMania over a former Universal Champion, over the man that beat Brock Lesnar twice in 2019, over the man that was once the face of Raw, and then be like, and we don't know what we're doing next. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, it says to me that they don't see much value in Kevin Owens. Which is a real shame. Like, you should have something for him when he comes back. But then I look up and down the available roster. Who does he feud with?
Drew?
Babyface. Babyface could work, definitely. But I'm really into Drew and Bobby right now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, true enough.
So I don't really have an answer, I'm afraid. But Asuka came out. They did a sort of celebration for Asuka. Asuka's new catchphrase appears to be Becky.
Yeah, she's just still dead chuffed for Becky Lynch, as we all are.
That's how you turn a baby face. And then this brought out all the SmackDown women, but Raw women standing in a row. Nia Jax, Natalia, and of course, their ever-present Charlotte Flair, champion of not just NXT, but of the people.
Yes.
And they quickly started brawling. Kevin Owens progressively got further and further away. And Asuka stood tall.
Yeah, I mean, if in a kayfabe world, if I'm Shayna Baszler, I'm super pissed off because I've beaten Natty twice in two consecutive weeks. And then the week after that, she gets an opportunity to be the number one contender for the title. And I'm not even on the show.
So, sorry, wait a second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I should have apologized for that more. You're right. That was just Natalia saying that I should apologize for.
We haven't got time for that now. We've got to move on to something else.
Oh, Savage Caruso. Just in case you didn't watch Raw, and this is how you stay up to date with WWE programming. There was a weird segment later on when Natalia answered a phone call mid-interview, looked really sad, and then Charlie Caruso just fobbed her off.
Exactly. It was like, no, you big dumb idiot. You wasted all your interview time on your phone call. Put on airplane mode.
It's a 3-hour show, Charlie. That's loads of time. So, yeah, this set up the three-way later on. Then we got the Andrade Apollo Crews match with Angel Garza telling how a wrestling match is much like making love to a beautiful woman. Swiss Tony was his name, by the way. From the
thank
Far
you very
show.
Much. It was doing my head in because I could hear that line of like, it blank blank is like making love to a beautiful woman. I was like, I cannot remember what the character is. And I was like, is it from Airplane? No, that's, have you ever seen a grown man naked? And I was just going through. I was like, what is it? What is it? And then I saw your notes earlier from Swiss Tony. I was like, Swiss Tony, that was it.
He writes, the actor who played him writes James Bond novelizations now, Charlie Hickson.
He does indeed, yeah.
Apparently they're very good for the sort of young adult market. Then we got Seth Rollins doing a Rey Mysterio promo backstage. Charlotte did an interview, Asuka danced their way through, and then the Iconics came out to say that they didn't break up last week, mate.
Flawless Iconics impersonation. This team is 100% breaking up.
Oh, no, you don't think so, mate.
Of course, I they came out to be like, no, we're on the same page. There's nothing that's going to break this bond up. But once they lose to Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross again, that is when possibly Billy Kay will turn on Peyton Royce.
I think that is just the worst idea because they're so good together.
Yep.
But this did bring out Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, that the Iconics said, we never even lost the women's tag team titles. And I was like, I don't know how they lost.
I know. I went to Wikipedia. It's like Quizzlemania research. I went to Wikipedia and I was like, didn't they? And apparently they lost it in like a fail four-way or something.
Right.
So maybe they didn't get... But I think it was an elimination, so they must have been pinned at some point.
I cannot remember. I'm going to swat up for next week for Quizzlemania, because you've got a big one tomorrow. Oh. Christ alive, the ultimate test.
I know, we're all having a big one. Yeah, me included. It's Night of Champions. I've got to face off against all previous champions. Basically, everyone said that me versus Kenny was like a duck week. That was like the B show. It was like Daniel Bryan facing Kane after winning the title at WrestleMania. And now I've got an actual big test ahead of me.
It was Brock Lesnar hardcore Holly at Royal Rumble. We love you, Kenny. Speaking of Scots who can cut great promos,
segue.
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross came out, and I thought, okay, Alexa Bliss is gonna, you know, cut a promo here because she's had a rough old time of it over the weekend on Twitter. And it was Nikki Cross who cut one hell of a promo.
Yeah, it really was. This was like getting across a lot of character completely. Like, I mean, this storyline, the storyline of these two together, has, we talked about to death, is completely muddled from day one, where it was like they were friends, they weren't friends, Alexa Bliss was using her, Nikki Cross didn't realize, then that was all dropped and they just became friends. So they've now just ignored all of that part of it and they're just focused on them being friends, which is so much better. It's like a really nice bit of consistency now. And yeah, and it's like she came out and just cut this amazing promo about how Alexa Bliss is a real friend. And like, it's real friends lift each other up. They don't put each other down, which kind of ties into what sort of the Iconics might be doing, which, you know, when they're going to break up and turn on each other.
Red herring.
You don't think? No.
I think Bliss works far better as a heel. And I think I would actually be quite interested in an Alexa versus Nikki breakup feud with Nikki as the babyface.
Hmm. Yeah, that's actually, do you know what? Now you've said it, I'm also quite behind that as well. I think that'd be really good. And you're right, like, Alexa's so much better as a heel. She's a fantastic heel. So I could certainly go for that. I think that'd be great.
Someone else I'm really enjoying right now, MVP.
Yes, love this partnership with Bobby Lashley. Like, it's so weird that I don't think I could picture this Drew and Bobby feud with Lana doing the promos. I just cannot picture in my head. I feel like it would be too much comedy. But with MVP doing it, it makes it feel like a main event feud.
Mm.
I love it. I think it's great.
It's a real sleight of hand what they've done. They've kind of used WrestleMania and a managerial change, but not completely ignoring the previous manager, into completely reinventing Bobby Lashley as a credible main event threat. Total character change, because he's never been like this in WWE since his return. This is more akin to his TNA character or his first run in WWE. I'm really, really into it. And Lana, like, sort of comes backstage to say to MVP, oh, I think we need to talk. And MVP awesomely just says to her, no, we don't.
Yep. No, we don't. MVP was all over this show, and I loved him in every single segment that he was in. I could have done with more of it, to be honest.
Yeah, because next up we had MVP hosting Drew McIntyre in the VIP lounge. Drew comes in, he's not having any of it, immediately starts tipping over sofas like he's Natalya after losing a match. And MVP, like you said earlier, brought up the history of that MVP offered his managerial services to Drew. This is some nice character work.
Yeah, really, really nice. And says that, like, you know, I wanted you to be the man that would take the title, but now I've got a man who's going to take the title off of you. I think it's really, really, really good stuff. And Drew's like, no one is going to take this title away from me. Out comes Lashley. Drew lays out MVP and then dares Lashley to get in the ring, with MVP pushing Lashley back, being like, now's not the time, now's not the time. Loving this feud, man. Really, really into it.
Yeah, because MVP did say, what was it, no contract, no contact?
Mm-hmm.
As a way for why he's keeping them apart. Like, MVP's the mastermind here. If he wasn't there, Lashley would just go for Drew.
Yeah.
What I really, really loved about, my favorite bit of the segment, was MVP initially, after taking the Claymore, really sold it and was down on the floor outside. holding Bobby's leg. Like that was his first thought. No, Bobby, don't get in there, even though he's knocked out. I thought that really showed a force of will of the act that, that you know, very compelling. And then we got...
This is where we got the Natalya interview. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to talk too badly of how badly it came across the segment. Okay. Sorry. TJ on the phone. So did she say
no, TJ? No, we've got to move on now. We haven't got time for it.
I'm very conscious about making sort of jokes that seem to be against people right now. But I would like to do a running thing where whenever we start to talk about Natalya, we just, we've got to move on. It's like Jimmy Fallon? No, it was...
Jimmy Kimmel. Making to smell cigarettes.
Jimmy Kimmel with Matt Damon, yeah. We're out of time. I watched Good Will Hunting for the first time ever last night.
The first time ever? What did you make of it, mate?
Incredible.
Right?
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Did it make you want to walk around the house in a thick Boston accent?
I was doing it all night. Bah! I'm going to go to the bar.
Harvard. How'd you like them apples?
And the Secret Cinema movie this Friday that was only just announced is the Poet Society. So I might have a bit of a Robin Williams week. I feel like he's my pop culture dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I think he's, avoid things like Toys, which is a terrible movie. Well, actually, do you know what? It's worth watching to see what a disaster it is. Like a really creative mind making a movie with no studio interference and then realize, oh, maybe this is why we have studio interference sometimes.
Yeah, for something as logistically complex as a computer animated movie.
Different Toys. This was a live action movie with Robin Williams.
This is the Christmas one.
Yes, it's sort of a Christmas movie, but also not. There's like the toy factory, and it's like the father dies and leaves it to, you've got one son that is war obsessed and one son that likes toys, and the war obsessed one wants to make military stuff, and the other son just wants to make toys again.
So it's small soldiers.
It's like a brother or something. Yeah, kind of, but not as good.
But sorry, Natalya, we didn't have time to talk about your segment. After this, we got Kevin Owens coming out before the break for his match against Angel Garza. But that sneaky heel Angel Garza ran out and took out Kevin Owens' knee.
Well, attacking your opponent before their match is a lot like making love to a beautiful woman. You've got to get the sneak in, I guess. sneaking in the back. And then Garza worked him over for ages. Owens couldn't do things like the pop-up powerbomb or the cannonball because he'd hurt his leg. And Garza hit the wing clippers for the win. Sucks to be Kevin Owens at the moment.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I really enjoy KO's selling here. I love Angel Garza. But I'm just getting that Kevin Owens is at a level that I think he should be incredibly higher than.
Yeah, completely agree.
In this week's episode of Viking Raiders Misunderstand Sport, we got Eric and Ivar playing actual golf against the Street Profits and then thinking that it meant throwing the golf club towards the hole.
Yep. Or throwing the ball, and they were hacking up the golf course. They hit some other golfers with the ball, which, to be honest, like as someone who does play golf every now and again, to be like that good when you don't even know how to play the sport is quite impressive. Like they'd be able to hit the ball and to get some distance on it. So in fact, where you can hit someone that's on the other hole, that's no mean feat. But in the end, they get kicked off that course. So they go and play mini golf, and the Street Profits win that. The Viking Raiders think they've won because they have the highest score, but because it's golf, it's you want the lowest score possible, you want the lowest amount of strokes. And so Street Profits said they won. And then Hansen reaches down into the hole, pulls out the ball, reaches out, pulls out a red cup to hand to Montez Ford, then reaches down into the hole again and pulls out Bugs Bunny from Space Jam. No, he pulls out a turkey leg and then cuts a promo on an alligator. It was almost like, you know, like if you're right, so you're like, I don't know how to end this segment. Has anyone got any ideas? and someone says, he cuts a promo on an alligator. He reaches, he picks out a red cup. He has a turkey leg. And they're like, cool, let's just do all of the ideas then.
Yeah. I don't know how to end this sketch. Does anyone have any ideas? Is how Saturday Night Live is written. And maybe it all comes from those weekend update segments the Street Profits were doing earlier this year. You know, when we were talking earlier about Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and how that has actually settled into quite a nice character relationship between the two. But initially, fundamentally, it was the worst story told in WWE because it didn't make any sense at the most basic fundamental levels of storytelling.
Yeah.
This is this year's version of that. The Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Sorry, I'm getting a bit of echo. Is it me coming through your...
Could possibly be.
So I don't know if you want to turn me down or anything, or if I... Can I do anything?
I think you're okay. You sound fine on my end, mate.
Cool, I'll keep going. So it's... I think these are getting a bit of a free pass because they are quite enjoyable. But... they don't actually make any sense. How is this building a feud? What story are they telling here?
I honestly don't know. These are just wacky comedy segments that, you know, some people will find funny. It's not my cup of tea. I didn't get a laugh this week. So I don't know. Maybe some people enjoy it. It's not for me, though.
I laughed last week, although it ended really weirdly. But I think, you know, this is actually really bad, but it's got people we very much like in it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I suppose I quite like all four of them, so maybe that's why I'm giving it... Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm giving it a bit of a free pass. My question is, where the hell's Bianca Belair?
In the crowd.
Bianca Belair was part of this Street Profits act in this feud with the Viking Raiders, telling them to get serious or they're going to lose. And since then, they've done nothing but comedy. So where's Bianca in all of this? Like, what, Bianca's been on TV for ages.
Yeah, I don't know. Then we got the Theory and Murphy tag match against Carrillo and Black that we've already covered. Really good stuff. Then Edge was cutting an intensely manly whisper.
I really don't like Randy Orton. He's got a story to tell about my career.
Oh, I'm going to have the best rest. Some people are saying it's the best wrestling match ever already.
Yes, that's still a thing that they're pushing. And the actual pay-per-view graphic now reads Backlash at the bottom, but on top of it is the greatest wrestling match ever.
Yes, that is the tagline for this show. It's to work people. It's so because they're not going to have that match, and so Randy screws the fans out of the greatest wrestling match ever. It's not what I would do, but you know, I've seen some people online defend it and say that WWE have got to try and do different things during this period of time, and this is their new thing that they're trying. I don't think it's a good thing to do because the argument is Randy is going to screw the fans, right? And they're not going to have this wrestling match. And then that will build to a different match down the line. But then surely that's going to be the greatest match ever. Because it's not like it's literally only this one has the possibility of being the greatest match ever. Surely the next match they have also has the possibility of being the greatest match ever. It just won't have the tagline this time.
It's the greatest match ever.
Yeah.
Are you 100% certain then that's what they're going to do? Because I think... they're drunk on their own ball S word, and no. They actually think they can get away with this.
Perhaps I'm being naive here. I cannot fathom a wrestling company putting this on and being like, they're definitely going to have the greatest. When this is all said and done, everyone is going to watch this show and be like, well, that's the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen. There's absolutely no way in hell. There is no chance in hell that they have thought that's a possibility. I think the only way out of this is with a screw job.
Well, we'll see at...
Oh, sorry.
After that, the Viking Raiders challenged the Street Profits to a bowling match. So that's going to get even more confusing, I imagine. And then MVP and Lashley challenged the Street Profits backstage IRL to a... match later tonight. Really like that stuff. As soon as MVP and Lashley walk in somewhere, it's like, ah, it's real.
Yeah, I really, really liked that. I didn't like the finish much, but I really liked that.
My favorite thing on the show, apart from Seth's character work, though, and more so than Apollo's title win, to be honest, was this really fun three-way between Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Natalya, all positioning to become the number one contender for Asuka's Raw Championship, and Asuka was also on commentary. This was great.
The only criticism I have about this, and this is a niggling thing, which because this was an excellent match and all of them did really well, is that Nia Jax was the only person that was ever going to win because they've already been building the feud between her and Asuka. So I just went in this thinking that Nia was going to win, and then she did win. So I was like, well, that's what I expected. I actually might have preferred it if Natty had picked up the win to be like, oh, wow, well, I wasn't expecting that at all. And now we can kind of prolong this Asuka-Nia Jax feud.
I totally agree. It was predictable from the outset. That I wrote the exact same thing. And I also, yeah, I think putting it on someone else would actually make a more interesting sort of spur of possibilities. However, they did work me in the middle part of this match when Charlotte Flair got on the figure eight on Nia Jax and Natalya just broke it up. And then there was, I think Natalya got the sharpshooter in. I was on the edge of my seat for those spots. And we got Nia Jax being put through an announcer's table, which is always fun.
Yeah, as I said, that was a really niggling complaint I would have about this, or criticism I have about this, because that aside, this was excellent. Really, really good stuff. Like, all three of them were awesome in this match.
Drew McIntyre was leaving after that. Oh, so we're going to get Asuka versus Nia Jax at...
Sorry.
Backlash. After that, we got Kayla telling Drew McIntyre that there's going to be this tag match for the main event. So Drew was like, oh, I think I might go and have a watch.
Flawless impersonation of Drew McIntyre as well.
Thank you. Thank you. R-Truth cut a promo on the Gronk, and then the Gronk, or Joey Janela maybe, because he's wearing those shades, cut a promo back saying he's got the 24/7 title.
My note here is, it was honestly not the worst promo I've ever heard.
I know, yeah.
Pretty decent promo.
He was obviously reading off a teleprompter. Who does that? But, you know, it was totally fine. I just... Yeah. Cannot be asked with the 24/7 title anymore.
It's had its day. It had its day, like, you know, about 4 weeks into its run, really. Once all the Drake Maverick stuff was done, I don't think it's ever had anything decent since then.
Get your finger ready, Luke, name of your pay-per-view, because Ric Flair then spoke about...
Oh, sorry.
How did you not have...
I've got it in two Backlash. Different screens. I've got it in two...
So Ric Flair cut a mobile phone, cell phone video on how Randy Orton is going to have the greatest match ever with Edge and Orton's going to win.
I just think it's really nice for them to have put a trailer for Ric Flair's cameo account on an episode of Raw. I was just about to the end of it. It was like, and I'd like to wish Tom a happy birthday.
We got a clip of Undertaker saying he envied Shawn Michaels. This, you know, from the Last Ride documentary.
Oh, I've seen it now.
Oh, yeah, good.
I've watched all three episodes of it. Well, the three episodes they've done thus far. The first episode is amazing. The second episode is fine. Actually, it's quite interesting because I think like the Cena thing was really interesting, where he was like, he was disappointed that they only got like the 6 minutes that they got because he trained for 45, but they only and they were saying that like after he had the hip replacement, that was when he was like, I can now go again, and I feel like so much I did not belong in the ring against Roman Reigns. I shouldn't have been there, but now I do belong in this ring again, and I feel so much better. But they only gave me 6 minutes.
Sounds like a junkie.
But they only give. Well, that's kind of what the whole thing is like. So my wife watched the first episode with me, and I said, "Do you want to watch another one?" She was like, "No, it's just too sad. I cannot bear to watch this old man not stop. It's just too sad. Like, it's too depressing to watch." But the third episode, aside from the fact that they completely rewrite, well, I mean, I say they rewrite, they WWEize why they're doing the Saudi Arabia deal, which is just like, there are fans over there who are doing amazing things, and the country's doing amazing things, and we should all just go over there and be a part of that. And that's amazing. And how, and how Shawn Michaels wanted to do the match because he owed it to The Undertaker and he trusted all of those four words. Like, really, it was, it's all about the dollar bill. But they were honest in the fact that all four of them were like, the match was terrible. The match was an absolute disaster. And hearing Triple H laugh about it, it was quite fun to watch, where he was like, everything went wrong in that match. It was a train wreck.
I do like honest Triple H. He comes across so humble. I'm like, but you're evil. After that, we got Liv Morgan blinking her way through another generic finding. You can see it now, right?
Yeah, I can.
It's all blinks.
Yeah, it's all blinks. This is, I mean, what can you say about Liv at this point? Like, I can't say I feel bad for her every single week, because she's just doing these nothing promos that mean absolutely nothing. And it's just, yeah, what can you say about this? You still haven't found yourself after this year where you've had, what, like, seemingly five comebacks in this, and you still haven't found yourself. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're looking for then, mate. Honest to God, I don't know what you're looking for.
Identity is transitory is the lofty philosophical statement she's trying to make, I think. Then we got the Rey Mysterio retirement graphic. Blink and you'll miss it. Oh, I'm sure Liv did. This is the greatest show. Sorry, I made myself laugh. And the main event. The main event was the Street Profits versus MVP and Bobby Lashley. Yeah. I've missed the Street Profits actually wrestling in the ring.
Yeah. When the match started, I was like, man, you don't want to pin your tag champs, but also you don't want to have Bobby pick up a loss. So do you just pin MVP? No, idiot me. Of course, Bobby Lashley just gets in, the referee disqualifies him. Yeah. So, you know, the finish was dreadful, but you know, the match was fine. And I actually quite liked I just liked the fact that we also had Lashley and MVP as a tag team. I thought that was really nice.
You know what, if you're going to do this match, let Bobby win. I think actually let Bobby win. Because the Street Profits, yeah, that does kind of undermine them, but maybe MVP can cheat on the outside. The whole purpose of this match should be making Bobby look as credible as possible as a threat to Drew McIntyre's title. And they were doing that throughout the entire bout. I thought they did a really good job of Bobby just manhandling people outside. Did some Montez Ford. It's like he's got Enzo levels of selling. Maybe not as good as Enzo, but the way he just ragdolls down. Really enjoy that style. But yeah, Bobby should just then dominate and win.
Yeah.
Not like get on the master lock and the referee count him out in what is such a lame finish that WWE keep going back to.
It's really smart in this match as well, in the way that they position this in order to protect Bobby. Is that when Ford went over to get the hot tag to Dawkins, MVP didn't tag out to Bobby, so the Bobby had to bump and feed. MVP just stayed in the ring and just got beaten up on the Dawkins hot tag. It's a really smart way of protecting Bobby there.
Yeah. After that, Drew McIntyre came out for a brawl with Lashley. I thought they had a pretty hot brawl as well. Pretty hot brawl. And this, that the referee started calling for the NXT recruits at ringside to come and help, and they pretty much got them separated, but then they would. So the show went off air with them both in either corner of the ring. I thought it was an effective angle to build this feud. They're really nicely building Drew versus Bobby. I can't believe after the just terrible job they've done with Lashley over the last 2-3 years, and even more so in the last 6 months, that I'm really excited for him going after the championship.
Hot Brawl, title of your next pay-per-view.
Nice. WCW, Hot Brawl.
But yeah, I actually very much enjoyed this episode of Raw overall. I thought of some really, really good stuff in there. And yeah, to echo your statement there, I'm so into Drew versus Lashley at the moment. And it's what they should have done with Lashley from day one when he came back. Not this smiling, I've got sisters nonsense. It should have been Walking Armageddon, and that's what we've got now. So yay, Walking Armageddon is here.
Yes. Well, overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5. What would you give this episode?
Yeah, I think that seems fair, yeah.
Okay, let's storm through these super chats.
Can I do my ones first?
Go for it.
So we've got this in from the Wakandan Forever, who said, Ray has always been one of my favorite wrestlers. I remember I saw him at a live show and he was incredible. He gave us many great years. I thought the Stadium Stampede match was one of the best in years. This is what the XFL should have been.
Yes.
DX Solo said you can combine the Omni Charlotte to just omelette.
How? Oh, I see, because of Charlotte. I like that. Omelette. It's an omelet flair feels better. Happy birthday for 2 days' time, DX Solo. We'll be having a chat with you.
Dr. Doom said, I've several friends who are starting to show an interest in wrestling. My issue is I don't know if I should tell them to go watch WWE Weekly or tell them to wait till big audiences come back to start watching it.
Well, there's another option. AEW.
And lastly, DX Solo says, Natalia, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there... I'm sorry, we've actually run out of time.
Fantastic. E-Jam King says, hey guys, Raw currently has 3 face champions. Is that a good thing? Also, how do you get the Street Profits out of the comedy role?
It doesn't... them being in a comedy role isn't the worst thing. You've just got to do actually good comedy with it. And no, I don't think having 3 face champions is a bad thing at all.
It's quite refreshing, I think.
In fact, they've got 4. Drew, Asuka, Street Profits, and Apollo.
Josh Kirsch, imagine telling someone last year that Drew, Apollo, Street Profits, and Asuka would be champions on Raw.
Right? What a difference a year can make.
It's like the good timeline in the worst timeline. Black Adam, I can't be the only one. Was Lana in sort of some kind of, you know, racial makeup? I'm not going to say it. I think she just probably had a lot of fake tan on.
Yes.
Because that would be wildly inappropriate considering her character position on Raw at the moment. Ugh. Jose Quinde, the heel highlights of Rollins is something to behold. Sheila breakup, Dean's head in cement block, trying to kill Edge, Cena's nose, Ray's eye, and yesterday.
I think he meant Shield breakup, not yes. Sheila breakup.
Sheila breakup. That's the Which iconics.
I was going to say, I think that's what he was saying.
E-Jam King again. Also, poor NXT talent having to stand for 3 hours.
Yeah, that was the other report that came out from Sean Ross Sapp, was that they weren't allowed to sit down at any point, like not even during, like, you know, when they weren't being shown on camera. They had to stand for the entire time and had to stand like in the lead up to it as well. So it was actually they were standing for more than 3 hours, which is, that's a big old ask. Maybe that's the new training.
Duncan Brady, I would love Seth to come out to Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Gabriel Reyes, new chant idea. Follow me. Follow me. Follow Seth, I think works.
Or he could come out to, I mean, we could get some Uncle Cracker back in. Follow me and everything is all right.
Josh Kirsch, where's Bianca Belair? Is she already being buried?
I think she's been forgotten.
Yeah. Lena Bliss, Shayna posted how she's sorry she doesn't have a family name in wrestling to get her an opportunity so she'll earn it herself.
Yeah, social media storylines are not always indicative of actual storylines.
Quoth the Reagan, never Ford. What a great name that is. How do you think the greatest wrestling match ever? Will actually end. It can't really be a match. I will laugh my Manscaped balls off if it's a finger point of doom just to piss off Meltzer.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if this is how we get back rated RKO? And it's, yeah, they just do the finger poke of doom. That would be amazing. They but like an Edge turns heel.
That is now the only way out. Carrie the G Gilbert. Should Bobby win now? Because a heel would be better in this era, especially with MVP as his mouthpiece. And when crowds return, give Drew a huge win.
Could do, yeah.
I want to keep the belt on Drew, but I don't mind that, actually. The Wakandan Forever. What is it? Is it that? I love the show. Have a great day, everyone. Woo!
Woo!
Thank you. Justin Edelheat. I don't think Natalia should have been in the triple threat. It should have been Shayna Baszler since she decisively choked Natty out last week.
And the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. Gweety25, Gronk versus R-Truth, future WrestleMania main event.
You know, it's a future match on main event.
Yeah. Michael Dominguez. We need to get that sound effect. Michael Dominguez. Undisputed Era go up to Raw, take on Seth's group and Roddy turns. Messiah absorbs Messiah of the Backbreaker. Crowd are only faces and need heels like AEW. Something suck. AEW people suck? I don't know. I think that might be a bit convoluted, and I don't think there's actually much money in an Undisputed Era Messiah feud.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so at the moment.
Mega Mr. 46. Will Ray take his mask off and give it to his son?
Well, that was the report. Ash Rose of Guerrilla Position said that's what he had been told, that Ray's whole plan is to pass off the Ray Mysterio name onto Dominic, and that would probably include the mask.
Michael Dominguez again. I mean, polls suck, and Flair's a face champion also. Duh. So the polls on the YouTube shows. Dale Creasy, best Raw I've seen this year with everything going on.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair enough. Do you want me to take over?
Yeah.
And do you want to cut the promo for the Comic Sans?
And moderators have put all your super chats together in a Google document with Comic Sans as the font. We'll be having words.
Jeff Perullo says, Tyson Kidd is the hacker. Lovely time with the boys.
I didn't really thought about that. Of course, that's who Natty was on the phone to, her husband, who hasn't been able to wrestle for 5 years since suffering an awful career-ending injury.
Yeah. Josh Kirsch says, Riddle versus Styles, Brian, Gulak, Cesaro, Nakamura. This ties into the news that apparently Matt Riddle is heading to SmackDown.
Yeah, Edge singled him out as well as someone he wanted to face in his comeback Raw promo.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Bacon Rasher, can you believe the Fyter Fest news? Damn you, Carino!
Could have had it in London. Ugh.
Yeah. John, dude, can we talk about Marty is the ROH AEW collab, or is Marty leaving ROH already? Where do you think this will go?
I think it's just people having some fun during lockdown, because ROH aren't making anything at the moment. But hopefully it does foreshadow a working relationship between them.
Wrestle Talk related super chats. S says, jam that jam, those eyes out of these out of those steps. Very good. Jobber JJ says, Quizzlemania is Luke, play the clip. I think he means, well, hold on. I think he might mean, I got the clip? I don't know if we have, actually.
He wants you to play the greatest show clip instead, in case you weren't sure.
Oh,
so
right.
Quizzlemania is...
Sorry. Yes. I wasn't sure if he meant the hype video that Adam did for me.
That's like 2 minutes long.
Patrol Ron says, looking forward to Dangor's interview with Eric Bischoff.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. He's he talks, that man.
Yep, I'm sure he'll have things to say. The Adnap 2 said, winning a match is like the eating of an orange. Thank you to Lewis Hughes, Hughes Tube, and Amal Jassim for your super chats and no messages. And lastly, Gabriel Reyes says, okay, but now know the entire Backlash show is going to be a musical with the superstars singing along to that musical. WWE just has to learn to commit.
A musical pay-per-view, yes.
Well, we kind of got that. Do you remember the promo for Rumble where they were going to do, it's going to be a Royal Rumble tonight? And they did the thing, they did a musical number there. And then Vince McMahon wakes up and was like, oh, what an idea. Script Films 2 says, do you believe retirement storylines are starting to get old-fashioned as they've become tiresome?
Definitely, yeah. They're massively overdone.
So how was your weekend before we dive into the mailbag? Your bank holiday weekend where you did some work?
Yeah, yeah. Just, I don't mind. I even went to bed on Saturday night a bit drunk because I had a few too many cocktails. We bought a cocktail shaker and then we found out that my favorite cocktail that I want to make, an old fashioned, doesn't require a cocktail shaker, but it looks cool to just be on the kitchen countertop. And yeah, I had too many of those. I looked over at my big bottle of whiskey that I bought online and I was like, oh, that's low. That's like half drunk. And I only started it on Thursday, a little bit, two days, and I'd only been drinking two nights. I thought, man, cocktails have a lot of alcohol in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can do. Yeah, very much so.
But even then, going to bed already slightly hungover because I'd drunk in the day as well for my mother's birthday. We did a virtual birthday celebration. Could have gone to see her, going by the new rules that have been the new precedent. But we thought it'd be better to stay apart.
And, I thought the same thing when I called your mum as well.
Nice one. And I went to bed really excited about watching AEW Double or Nothing, and woke up the next morning, started watching it, and I did not resent it slightly that I had to work on a Sunday on a bank holiday weekend, because my word, what an incredibly fun show.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you weren't on the podcast, so tell us, what did you think of the show?
Well, you know, you can go and watch my review of it on WrestleTalk. But I loved it all the way through, really. I know people are like, oh, the ladder match was a bit iffy, or the buy-in match wasn't the best. But I just loved the fun of it. I really liked the women's match because I freaking love Shida. I loved the debut of Brian Cage. It kind of ties in with everything I was saying I predicted with them pairing someone with Taz. Cannot believe we didn't once think Brian Cage.
I know. When me and Laurie did the video on Friday, the magazine show, and we were talking about it being Gulak or The Revolt or Sting, every comment was like, Brian Cage, Brian Cage. And I was like, oh, idiots, why didn't I think of Brian Cage?
Yeah, it's like when he walked out, I went, oh, of course. So obvious. But yeah, well, good on AEW for sort of waiting long enough for that sort of speculation to die down. And well, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he was injured. So they signed him back in January when his wife told him that all of those reports from Psycho Uncensored were made up. But he was injured when they signed him. So they've just basically been paying him to sit at home and recuperate, ready for him to come back.
Well, he looks in great shape. I imagine he's just been working out that entire time. But that was really good. I thought that was a nice bit of newsworthiness. And that he'll you know, go right into a program for the AEW title. I think that's a great way to establish a main eventer. And my favorite thing on the show was the finish to Brody Lee versus Jon Moxley.
Amazing.
What an amazing finish.
Yeah. So, so great. Like the Bam Bam Bigelow Taz going through the stage. I thought they might, when they went through, I was like, oh, that's how they're going to enter the match. The one thing we didn't think of, like a no contest effectively. And when they both crawled out, and Brody crawled out with the blood pouring down his face, and then he choked, and then like he hits the paradigm shift and he kicks out at one. I was like, no way. And the only way he could beat him was by choking and like driving the blood out of his body was the only way that he could stop him. Man, like I thought it put over Brody Lee massively. Like there was someone in the comments on when we did our live stream review, Laurie and I, they said like, I don't see how that protects Brody Lee. I'm like, how could it not? Like they did everything they could to protect him.
Yeah, that's the most interested I've ever been in Brody Lee's character. I cannot wait to see him again.
Yeah.
And the main event, sorry, was, I said it in my review, it was the Captain America Civil War fight scene in the airport done in wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Like I'm still laughing at the matte facts on screen. And it's not just that there were matte facts on screen. It's that Santana and Ortiz could see that there were matte facts on screen. That's what tipped it over the edge for me.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I loved it.
Right, well, I've got this as an email comes in from Anonymous, who said, I was inspired by Andy cutting his hair on Quizzlemania and thinking of ways I could raise money for people affected by Steve Carino. I'm in no way a social media personality, but have created an idea, Memory Square. The idea is simple as this. People can purchase a virtual square which will allow them to send our website a good news story that either a good deed they've done for someone or someone done for them during this pandemic. I've expanded on this idea slightly by including a digital social media badge people can buy to show their support, and I have created some pin badges and t-shirt designs. Even if it only raises enough money to support one person through this pandemic, it will be worth it. So you can find out more at memory-square.co.uk. That comes in from Anonymous. A very, very nice thing. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Or put in a hyphen in a web address, a URL. That's bad SEO, man.
Well, I'd imagine Memory Square was probably already taken.
Mm. But that's a very nice endeavor. It's really heartwarming to see how so many people just want to help. Volunteering in the UK has gone up by 10 million people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Crikey. Right. Have we got time for one more email, or do you want to?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. This comes in from Chris, who says, "Hi there, Luke. My name is Chris. I live in the state, Kentucky, to be exact. I'm writing this email to ask how I could possibly become a better writer in regards to professional wrestling. I've written for sites before, but nothing I feel is on the same level as WrestleTalk, and I want to continue to grow myself better in the areas of either writing for you guys or doing something anywhere just as big. Been a fan of yours and Ollie Davis since early 2017. You guys got me through some rough times, as well as say thank you for all that you guys do. I hope this email finds you well. What is that Simpsons podcast you listen to? That'll be Talking Simpsons. So my advice to you, Chris, would be just keep at it. Like, you will never be good on your first try. But the next piece that you write will be better than your last, and that will continue forever.
Yeah, so like a consistent, frequent practice of trying to improve as a writer, just writing as much as you can. Me personally, I prefer well-written short pieces, you know, like, because some people just write everything and then they don't read it back. I go back and I reread it like three or four times, cutting out stuff more and more every time to make it just a succinct block of text, really clear, concise. I think that's the mark of good writing. So, yeah, editing is why I think what separates good writers from very good writers.
Well, yeah, there was that thing that some friends of ours used to do. In fact, actually, one of our friends still does the 100-word reviews. So pick a film or a wrestling match that you want to review and write that review to exactly 100 words, because that will really discipline you in editing and your choice of words. It's a really good way to sort of like, yeah, condition yourself into being a better writer. But that is all we have got time for on this edition of the podcast. We've got some more emails to read out, lots of thank yous. So we'll get to those on the AEW review, which will be out on Thursday, along with the NXT podcast, magazine show on Friday, all that usual good stuff. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.